begin discussing more globally the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. Last week we talked about why we were chosen. We saw that there are two aspects, one aspect which is inscrutable, one aspect which relates to our behavior. And today we're going to consider the results. I don't think there are any left. Here's another copy. There's one left. So our relationship to humanity. So turn to page 6 on your source sheets. So I want to start with something interesting, maybe and then we'll try to figure out what it means and how to understand it. So a lot of times when you look at Chazal and Rishonim, you'll see sources that are very, present a very differing attitudes with respect to the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. So the two examples, and then we'll try to understand what's the pshat. So the first is from the Tefillah on Yom Noraim, right? Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu. So when I always read Uvechein tein pachtecha, I saw it in very universalistic terms, right? What do we say? Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. So kol ma'asecha sounds like all of humanity, all of creation. We're asking Hashem, place your pachad, impose your awe on all of your works. They maschal kol ma'ase barasa. Again, kol ma'ase barasa sounds like all of humanity, all that you created. Viruha kol ha'ma'asim. Vishtachavu levachanecha kol ha'bruim. Yesu kulam aguda achas lasos ritzon chavalev ha'shalim. So it's all about how all of humanity will presumably be Mos HaMashiach joined together in the service of God and in recognition of His oneness. And that's what we're praying for. In other words, we're praying for a world not just where we recognize and serve God, but where all of humanity serves and recognizes God. So then I was once looking at the parish of the Arugas HaBosem, which is a Rishon, on the Tefillah. I think Rabbi Ezra Schwartz pointed this out to me. And he takes this whole paragraph and he makes it entirely particularistic. So when it says, "Tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha," so he says the word "e ma'asecha" is referring to Klal Yisrael, and he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu that ma'asecha is dafka Klal Yisrael. And when it says, "al kol ma'ase barasa," kol ma'ase barasa is also just Klal Yisrael, and he quotes a different pasuk in Yeshayahu to show it. And so on and so forth. Meaning to say, takes this this stanza, which at first glance seems to be a petition that all of humanity recognize and serve God, and he understands it and entirely referring to Klal Yisrael. That's hara number one. Hara number two is a pasuk that comes from the Shmos, Perek Yotes, right when Hashem is giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So here we have a pasuk that is clearly intending to convey the special role of Klal Yisrael. We are Mamlechas Kohanim, we're a Goy Kadosh. So if you take a look at the Sforno, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam on this pasuk, they both say the following point, that a Mamlechas Kohanim implies a responsibility to the rest of the world. After all, if you're a minister, you're a Kohen, you're a priest, so your responsibility is to minister to everybody else, to your flock. So if we're all meant to be a Mamachas Kohanim, so it means that we have a certain degree of responsibility for the entire world. That's the way the Sforno and Rabbi Avram ben Aram understand this pasuk. We are Mamachas Kohanim. And Rav Hirsch makes a similar point. You have this source at the top of page 6 that that again what is the implication of our chosenness, so that in no way does Jewish thought look on the choice of Israel as rejection of the rest of humanity. It regards the choice of Israel only a beginning, only the restarting of the spiritual and moral rebuilding of mankind, only the first step to that future, where many nations will attach themselves to God and become His people. And Israel's sanctuary will not only be the central heart of Israel, but the center of mankind, right? Like we say, Ki ve'siveis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim, who will have found their way to God. So again, Mamlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, is emphasizing our role in terms of our responsibilities to mankind, in terms of God's plan to restore all of humanity. You look at Rashi on that pasuk, we compare it, so you get a very different impression. Let's take a look at Rashi, which you have below. V'atayim shamoa tishmu b'koli v'shmartem v'sprisi v'yisim li skula mikol amim ki li kol ha'aretz. So what does that mean, skula? Otzer chaviv, a beloved treasure. Kemo v'sagaltam lachim kli yakar v'avanim tovos sham lachim gon zim osam kach atem tiyu li skula mishar umos. So we are like a treasure chest from among the nations. V'lo tomru atem levadchem sheli v'ein li acherem imachem. Uma yesh li od shetechi baschem nikares ki li kol aretz v'heim v'einai ulefanai leklum. So the whole land is mine, and they are nothing to me. They mean nothing to me. Right? That's what the pasuk is trying to convey, according to Rashi. In other words, the umos olam mean nothing to me, God. So on these, you know, this is the same two psukim. We have, I guess, dramatically different approaches to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views the umos olam. And again, we'll see more of these as we go through, but there are really countless examples of this phenomenon. I picked those two because it's mamish on the same psukim. You have in the different mefarshim these two diametrically different approaches. So how do we explain this? So maybe we'll attribute it to historical conditions. Maybe we'll say, look, you know, Rashi and the Arugas Habosem, it's Rabbi Avram ben Azriel, who lived in Bohemia in the first half of the 13th century. So they lived in places where the non-Jews surrounding them were essentially barbarians. And it's not surprising then that they understood the Torah's perspective as God seeing seeing these umos olam very lowly. And Sfarno, Rav Hirsch, Rambam, they all lived, at the very least, they were in positions where they appreciated the sophistication and the accomplishments of non-Jews that surrounded them. And so naturally, their approach was very different. So I don't think that's the correct mahalich. I don't know if anyone says that. I'm saying that you could imagine that if you ask this question to certain people, that's what they would tell you. So I don't think that's true. I think, first of all, generally speaking, I don't. They're both trying to explain the same Torah and the Dvar Hashem. And anyway, I think that if you look through at every level of Torah, whether it's Tanakh, Chazal, Rishonim, Achronim, you'll always see these two general themes represented. So I can't say that there's nothing to that distinction, but I don't think that's the MS Lamito. Another possibility when looking at these different approaches is to distinguish between rational streams and mystical streams. Maybe we'll say that, you know, on a rational level, those that are more rationalistic thinkers, like the Rambam, like Rav Hirsch, in different ways, were basically saying that on a rationalist level, we're not that different from non-Jews. And non-Jews can also accomplish great things. So it doesn't make sense to say that they're worthless and pointless. Whereas if we emphasize a more mystical approach, So then the difference between the Jew and the non-Jew is more significant. We'll talk about this probably next week. We do the Kuzari and the like. But the Makoros that stress the metaphysical difference between Jew and non-Jew, the difference in terms of the neshama and the like. So if you take a more rationalist approach, so it makes sense to adopt the approach, let's say, what we were saying from what we saw in the Rambam and Sforno and Rav Hirsch, and if you take the more mystical approach, so then maybe you would take the other approach. But again, here too, I don't think that I think this is a very superficial distinction, and we'll see that when you continue to go through the Makoros, it doesn't really hold up, and it's incomplete. So, and there's really a second reason, maybe much more fundamental, why we can't just say that the Rashi or the Arugas Abosem is actually saying, though again, I agree that it, at least at first glance, it sounds that way, but is actually saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care at all about the Umos HaOlam and what they think, or we have no interest in their feelings or care or participation in the world, and especially in Yemos HaMashiach. Because the Torah, in so many places, does seem to stress that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does care about the Umos HaOlam and Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem Be'enei HaAmim, right? Just for example, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatens to destroy the entire Jewish people, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say back? Mm-hmm. You have it over here. Ve'matas am hazek ish achad ve'amru agoyim asher shamu ashim acha le'mor mebilti yecholos Hashem laviyas am hazeh el ha'aretz asher nishba lohem v'yishchateim ba'midbar. So why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu not destroy the Jewish people? Because my yomru agayim. Now, if we don't care about what the gayim say, if heim lefanai keklum, enem nachshavim be'enai leklum, so why is it something that's going to move Hashem? Right? Why is this a good argument that the gayim are going to say mibilti yecholos Hashem? Why is this argument of chilul Hashem be'enai amim a good argument? Who cares about the amim? So clearly, I think, the Pasuk is saying no. That there needs to be a Giloi Kvod Hashem in the world, and a Chilul Hashem Be'enei Ha'amim is the opposite of that, and so much so that that's a reason to spare Klal Yisrael, even if they're deserving of destruction due to their sins, because so as to forego, so as to prevent that Chilul Hashem, right? And likewise, in many places in Tanakh, the psukim emphasize the chil Hashem be'enei ha'amim caused by the galus, and also that a motivation for the geula is going to be kiddush Hashem be'enei ha'amim. You see that it's a central theme of Parshas Hazinu. In the book of Yechezkel, for example, take a look, we have over here, Vayavo el hagoyim asher bo sham vayichalalu Hashem kachi be'mor lahem am Hashem eile umeratzo yatzo. Right? So what a chilul Hashem it is that there is galus, that the Am Hashem is trampled upon, and b'otzi eschem min ha'amim, v'kibatzi eschem min ha'aratzos, asher nifotzosem bam, v'nikdashti v'achem le'enei ha'goyim. And again, and what's going to happen when the geula comes? It's going to be a kiddush Hashem le'enei ha'goyim, the Pasuk says. So, clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about goyim. Now, obviously, doesn't mean, you know, he cares about what they think, like Hashem has this reputation, he has to keep up among the Gayim. And what are the Gayim going to say? And if the Gayim are going to see weakness, they're going to speak bad. Obviously, that's not true. And this is a bigger topic, which hopefully we'll have a chance to consider more throughout the year. But Pashut, what the idea is that part of the reason for the existence of the world, at least from our perspective, is Giloi Kvodo Yisborach. We are a means of being Megala Kvod Hashem. So a Chilul Hashem is the worst possible Aveira in a sense because it's Mechalo Hashem. And a Kiddush Hashem is the greatest possible mitzvah because it's Mekadesh Hashem. And even though, you know, it's interesting, the halacha is that with respect to Yehard Val Yavor, when we talk about Chil Hashem, B'nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, in that context we focus on Kiddush Hashem B'nei Yisrael, but you couldn't possibly say that that's the only factor, that's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about, because like we see again and again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned about a Kiddush Hashem L'Einei Ha'amim, a Chil Hashem B'Einei Hagayim. In other words, part of the purpose of the world's existence is for the entire world, every human being, to recognize Hashem and serve Hashem. That's the goal. That's the purpose. When there's a Chil Hashem L'Einei Amim, that purpose is being undermined, and that's tragic. And when there's a Kiddush Hashem L'Einei Amim, so that goal is being realized. So, clearly, from the Psukim, again and again, it's apparent that what the Goyim think is important. Meaning to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about them. They play a role in the purpose of creation. It's not just about us. If it was just about us, so then those Psukim won't make any sense. Wouldn't make any sense. And that's why, in so many places, in describing Yemos HaMashiach, the role and the participation of the Umos HaOlam is stressed. Again, here's one example from Yeshayahu Samach Vav. Ve'viu es kol acheichem mikol agoyim mincha l'Hashem. It's talking here about the contribution that the non-Jews will make to the Beis HaMikdash. They too will bring a mincha l'Hashem, basusim uvarechel uvatzabim uparadim uvakir karos, with their horses and their chariots and their wagons and their mules. Al har kadshi Yerushalayim amar Hashem, kasher yaviu b'nei Yisrael es hamincha b'kli tahor beis Hashem. Just like b'nei Yisrael bring menachos, bring gifts to Hashem, offerings to Hashem, so too b'nei the Umos HaOlam will bring. In fact, those psukim talk about kohanim coming seemingly from the Umos HaOlam. What that means is a very interesting discussion, but not from now. Right? Beisi, beisi, kikarei l'chol amim, like we said before. Shlomo HaMelech, when he's dedicating the first Beis HaMikdash, davens that not just the tefillos of Klal Yisrael be answered, but the tefillos of the Umos HaOlam be answered. And in fact, it was that sort of universalistic vision that Shlomo, which will be fully realized by Moshe Mashiach, that Shlomo was trying to realize. That's another discussion. But anyway, the point being that that there's so many places, again, that are explicit in Tanakh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about and is interested in the avoda of the whole world, all of humanity, not just the Jewish people. It's one of the fascinating, most fascinating tefillos, I think, that emphasizes this dichotomy, is Aleinu. In Aleinu, so we daven, L'sakein olam malchus shakai, v'chol b'nei vasar yikru v'shmach, alav no selecha kol v'sheret yikiu v'yedu kol yoshvei sevel. Right? It's all about the desire that all of humanity, right? Kol yoshvei sevel. That all of humanity, not just us, but everyone, every person, every creed, every race, all join together in recognizing and serving God. So again, it's obvious that when Rashi says V'heim einam nachshavim lefanei leklum, he doesn't mean to say that they're of zero value. Obviously, there's a difference. The Chiras Yisrael is Asher Bachar Banu, we call Ha'amim. But it doesn't mean that there's no value, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no interest in the Umos HaOlam. So how do we understand then the... Yes?
Sorry, which pasuk did that idea derive from? Which pasuk did Rabbi use in the primary?
That was on the pasuk right before attempt to Lima. It's on... Perak Yotes Pasuk Hei, Rashi says that. On the Dibor Maschil Skula that you have up here. So how do we understand these different makoros, some which very much emphasize the role of Umos HaOlam, and some which minimize it, and to the opposite. So I saw a very beautiful piece on this topic, just a paragraph or two, but I think it's very powerful, from Shlomo Fisher in Drashos Beis Yishai. It's chapter 26. And I thought it was a very, very fascinating point that he made. He writes that there are two models of Bechiras Yisrael. One that's expressed by psukim like B'ni Bechori Yisrael. So what does B'ni Bechori Yisrael mean? We are God's firstborn. But we are the firstborn among many children. The metaphor implies that if you're a Bechor, right, a Bechor isn't just the only child, it's the firstborn. So the metaphor implies that we enjoy a special relationship with him, we play a special role, but we're one of many children, right? We are the Bechor. So whatever a Bechor is, relates a lot to Parshas HaShavua, right? But a Bechor doesn't mean that you have no other children. A Bechor does reflect a certain preeminence, perhaps. A special distinction, something unique, but not that everyone else is inconsequential. And then another aspect is seen in other psukim, that Hein am levadad yishkon v'agoyim lo yischashav. Right? We are an am levadad, alone. V'agoyim lo yischashav. We're not counted among nations. We're unique. We're not just the firstborn among many children. But am levadad yishkon v'agoyim lo yischashav. So, he suggests the following. Both of these are true. We have this duality in our relationship with him. You could suggest that actually relates to the duality we talked about last week. But regardless, so there's a duality. One is the B'ni B'chori Yisrael. We are the firstborn, but among many children. And therefore, we have a special role. Right? Psukim, like Yeshayahu, Perek Membeis, when the Pasuk says, we are supposed to be an Or Goyim, or Lagoyim. So what are we saying over there? That reflects that first aspect of our relationship. B'ni B'chor Yisrael. Because we're the B'chor, we have a special role. We have to be a light unto the nations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about all his children, all the nations. He has given us a special mission to be that Or Lagoyim, to bring light to the entire world. But clearly a reflection of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about and is interested in the whole world, and specifically that's why he gives us the mission to be the Or Lagoyim. And then what Rav Fisher suggests is the model of Hem An Levadad Yishkon V'Agoyim Lo Yischashav reflects the model that we're going to talk about next week in the Kuzari and in numerous Kabbalistic sources, which emphasizes that we're not just the first among many nations, but we're categorically different in a spiritual sense. Our souls aren't the same as their souls. We have the Inyan Eloki, whatever that means. Again, Be'ez Hashem will work on that. But that's a suggestion. In other words, both of them are true. Both components are true. There's a duality to our chosenness. We're B'ni B'chor Yisrael, but we're also Hein Am Levadad Yishkon V'goyim Lo Yischashav. And within the first model, so it's important. Now, let's say it this way, first of all. Even within the second model, it's important to remember that non-Jews do still play an important role in the world, right? There's such a thing as Chasidei Umos HaOlam, which are capable, which are Zolcha Liolam Haba. Non-Jews contribute and achieve great things and can accomplish great things. But, so that's true even in the second model. Just the second model emphasizes the categorical difference, whereas the first model emphasizes our responsibility. So, let me just say one more thing. Rav Fisher then suggests a fascinating thing to explain a very, very troubling parak in Tanakh. It's Yeshayahu, parak and then base going on to Nun Gimel. It's known as the Nevuah of Hinei Yaskil Avdi, or the suffering servant. And this paragraph, this chapter in Tanakh is noteworthy, though that won't be our focus. Maybe at the end we'll talk about this a little bit, because it's the chapter that's most frequently used to find a Christological reference in Tanakh, in Scripture. There are all sorts of Christological references, of course, you know, Ad Ki Avo Shiloh, and all sorts of funny things like that. But none of them are particularly difficult to address. They're usually even pretty laughable. You know, Shema Yisrael being a reference to the Trinity, so okay. But there is one chapter that that they always really use. The Ibn Ezra says Taka on that chapter, like this chapter is the one that we have to work hard to explain our position. Of course, it's not what they say. We'll talk about why it's not, but it is a very interesting one. It is something that something you should know, especially if you ever do encounter missionaries. So they always like to quote this, and not necessarily recommending engaging in debate with them. It's usually not a very fruitful endeavor. But they'll always start with this parak. On many times I've experienced that, and occasionally I talk to them about these things. But maybe I shouldn't have. I don't know. But it's sometimes anyway. So, but the point is that so it's in this context that he suggests a very fascinating thing. So the basic parak of Hinei Yaskil Avdi is. The psukim basically describe an Eved Hashem who suffers terribly. Now, the identity of this Eved Hashem is unclear. Rashi understands it's referring to the Jewish people as a whole. We'll talk about other possible explanations, of course. They claim it's talking about Mashiach, and the truth is that there's a view in Chazal that it's talking about Mashiach. But most of the Mefarshim, like Rashi and Radak, assume it's talking about Klal Yisrael. We'll talk about the view in Chazal, talking about Mashiach and what that means at the end. But most of the Pashtanim, the Mefarshim, explain it's talking about Klal Yisrael. So what's the Perek saying? It's saying that Klal Yisrael will suffer terribly in exile. Klal Yisrael, the Eved Hashem, will suffer terribly. Now, why will they suffer? What's the basis for their suffering? So this is known as the idea of vicarious atonement. That's the way it's called. The way the psukim read, at least kipshutam, the way Rashi explains them. Take a look at the psukim. You have them over here, towards the bottom. Oh, actually, top of page seven. So we'll read these two psukim. Achen chol yenu hu nosei. So this is the non-Jews talking. Our diseases he did bear, the Eved Hashem, meaning Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael bore our diseases. Umachovenu svalam, and our pains he carried. Vanachnu chashavnuhu nagua muka elokim umeuna. We saw him as stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Vehu mechulau mipshainu. He is wounded because of our transgressions. Meduka. Me'avonoseinu, he's crushed because of our iniquities. Musar shlomenu alav, the chastisement of our welfare was upon him. Uvechavuraso nirpalanu, and with his stripes we were healed. It's a very unclear psukim. So that's the psukim. That's what the psukim say. Right, and eventually everything will work out, of course. So what does this mean? Achen chol yenu nosei. So we'll look at Rashi. You have that below. Rashi writes, Achen chol yenu nosei, Achen lashon aval, b'chol makom. So Achen means aval. So what does that mean to say? But, meaning aval aval ata anu ro'im shelo machmas shifluso balo. So now we see, meaning say this is the non-Jews talking at the time of the redemption. So now we see that this came to him, meaning the servant, Bnei Yisrael suffered, not because of his low state, Ela Miusar Hayab Yisurin, he was chastised with pains, Lios Kol Umos Miskapros Biyisurein Shel Yisrael, so that the nations will be atoned for by the Jews' suffering. Chali Shehaya Ra'ui Lavo Aleinu, Hu Nisao, the sickness that should have rightfully been upon us, he, meaning Bnei Yisrael, bore. A little later, Vanachnu Chashavnuhu, Anu Hayinu Svurim Shehu Sanui Lemakom, we thought that Bnei Yisrael was hated by God. Vehu Lo Hayakein, he was not actually hated. Ela Mechulal Hayam Mipsha'enu Umeduka Me'avonoseinu, but he was crushed because of our iniquities. Musar Shlomenu Alav, Bo Alav Yisurei Hashalom, Shehayalanu, Shehu Hayam Yusar Liyo Shalom L'chal Olam. Right, so he was chastised, so there will be peace in the world. Right, so according to Rashi, somehow or another, the suffering of Bnei Yisrael atones for all of the world's sins. So this, of course, is very startling. Right, doesn't seem to be at all fair. Why should we suffer for their sins? And in fact, Radak says that this explanation of Rashi is absolutely implausible. And it goes against a million psukim. Right, he quotes the Pasuk in Dvarim, Lo yumsu avos albanim uvanim lo yumsu avos ish b'cheto yumasu. And he quotes the Pasuk in Malachim, Ves b'nei Malachim lo hemis kakasu b'sefer Toras Moshe, Asher tziva Hashem le'mor, Lo yumsu avos albanim uvanim lo yumsu halavos ish b'cheto yumasu, when the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and numerous psukim that the Radak quotes, that all say that God is just and he doesn't bring suffering upon one person due to the sins of another. So it couldn't possibly be, as Rashi claims, that we're suffering for their sins. In fact, a number of the older printings of Rashi's, and you look at the old Mikros Gedolos, they omit those Rashi's that we learned together. So how does Radak Tak explain the Psukim? He's a rather brilliant, though perhaps a little bit forced, reading of the Psukim. He says that the non-Jews, upon seeing the inexplicable suffering, does anyone have a tissue? The inexplicable suffering of the Jewish people. So they conclude that it must be our, thank you, it must be our suffering that they're bearing. In other words, how else could we explain the suffering of the Jewish people in the Galus, right? How else? What would account for it? So, the non-Jews are saying, well, the only conceivable explanation would be that they're suffering for our sins, because clearly they did not sin so much that they would deserve it. That must be the pshat. Dr. Berger points out the irony that they're basically applying their own theology of vicarious atonement to explain the suffering of the Jewish people. But in fact, that is not the case. That is not the case, because in reality, we are responsible for our own fate. And you have the Radak over here, the middle of page 4. Now, it's a difficult read. It's very plausible for actually the Psukim we just read before, Psukim, Dalet, and Hay, because as we said, that is the voice of the non-Jews. So we could say that's their interpretation, which is in fact false. In Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, it's much more difficult, because those Psukim are parallel to Dalet and Hay. But in that case, God is the speaker, not the Gayim. So it's very strange to attribute a theological error to God. So the Radak, you know, tries to address this issue. But it's difficult. So what's the pshat in Rashi, right? How do we explain Rashi? And the truth is that Chazal also assume like Rashi in a number of places. One example you have here is the Tana de Be'eliyahu, Alav HaKas of Omer, so it's from this parak, Me'amal Nafsho Yir'eh Yizba, Mikan Amru HaTalmud Chacham Shebedor, Husovel Avonos HaDor Shebetocho, Beino Levein Atzmo, Vein kol birya yachola lahakir bahem. Ela kodesh baruch hu levado. V'alav hu omer. V'avono senu hu yizbo. So, the Chazal over here are actually saying that this is the idea of tzadik nitfas ba'avon hador, because this Chazal is understanding that the Yaskil Avdi, the Eved, is not a Klal Yisrael in a collective sense like Rashi learns, but it's an individual tzadik. But it does understand the psukim as vicarious atonement, though again, referring to the tzadik being nitfas ba'avon hador, as opposed to Klal Yisrael as a whole. So what emerges from Rashi and from Chazal is that either righteous individuals or the entire Jewish people will sometimes suffer due to the sins of others. So we could very much understand why again Radak rejects this. So what's the pshat in Rashi? So what Rav Fisher says is, he says this is pashut, is that this is because we are somewhat responsible for them. Meaning to say, if we are a mamlechas kohanim, like we said before, our job is to inspire the whole world and to be concerned about their spirituality. If we're meant to be an or lagayim, and all these psukim that emphasize our role, our universalistic role, our role to that relates to umos ha'olam, so naturally then, if they, if we are not successful in that role, and they sin, so we will suffer for their sins, because we are, to some degree, responsible for them. And the Ramchal, we'll see this a little later, explains along similar lines, that's the idea of tzadik nitfas ba'avon hador, that he says tzadik is nitfas ba'avon hador, because kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, and it relates to the responsibility of the tzadik to the door, and the like. So he says that's the pshat. In other words, going back to his model in which one aspect of Bechiras Yisrael, the model reflected by B'nai B'chor Yisrael, the idea of Or L'Gayim, the idea that we are responsible for the whole world, and especially for the spiritual accomplishments for the whole world. So that would explain this idea that the parak in Yeshayahu, that we do, suffer for their sins, because we are, to some degree, responsible for their sins insofar as we aren't always living up to our responsibility, our mission of being the Or L'Gayim. And the Kuzari might also share this explanation. I thought it was very interesting. The Kuzari over there is describing the Jewish people, the exiles, comparing them to the dried out bones in Yechezkel, the famous Nevuah. And Yeshayahu, he writes, compares the Jewish people in exile to a grotesque and suffering serpent, as we read in the Psukim, who is ugly, someone who everybody hides from, someone who doesn't want to look at. And then the Kuzari addresses this question of why we would suffer for them. This is towards the bottom of page 7. So Amar Kuzari, the Kuzari was the king of the Khazars. Av ech yeze mashal Yisrael v'u omer chol yenu hu nosei v'Yisrael lo matza osam mashematzam ki im b'avonasam. Right? So the king of the Khazars learned, like the Radak, said, how could we explain that the servant in Yeshayahu is referring to the Jewish people, and that the suffering is because of the sins of the nation? Klal Yisrael suffers for their own sins, right? It's our own averos. So how could you explain the pasuk that way? And Amar Chaver, so the Chaver responds, Yisrael beumos kalev beevarim. Very, very important mashal. We're going to talk about this more next week when we do the Kuzari. So Yisrael among the umos is like the lev among the evarim. In other words, we are like all of humanity is like a human being. And different nations are different limbs. Every nation is a different limb. Some are the feet, some are the hands, some are other organs. And the role of Yisrael is like the heart. Hu rav choliyim mikulam, the rav v'riyus mikulam. So it's the most sick and the most healthy of them. So how has he answered the question? So it could be he's just saying that that because we're all part of the same body in a certain sense. By the way, even that metaphor reflects the what we're saying, the first model, right? That we're all part of the same being. We're all humanity. We're all a single being. Yeah, we have a special role. We're the heart, but we're all part of something bigger. And he could just be saying that, like, sickness of the heart affects the rest of the body, and sickness in the rest of the body affects the heart most powerfully. But I really think what he's saying is that that we could take them, you know, the heart pumps the blood for the whole body. And it nourishes the whole body. It brings life to the whole body. And therefore, if it bears that responsibility of nourishing the whole body, so then mimela, if the body fails, so the heart fails. And the maladies of the rest of the body make the heart sick. And that's because of its special role, its special responsibility. Okay, so I see there's a lot of questions. So before we go on, we'll take some questions. Yeah.
In terms of the duality of Bechiras Yisrael, in terms of responsibility for the game, and also having this uniqueness, were we saying that? Like, I wasn't exactly sure how we answered the question. We're just saying, like, they're both, like, they contradict each other and saying, well, they're both true.
They're both true. They're not. They're both true. We have, again, along the lines of what we had last week. Last week we talked about how the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not analogous to any human relationship. In human relationships, we have these different models. We have the child relationship, we have the spousal relationship, we have Eved and Adon, we have friends, right? You don't have one person, that's all of them. But the fact that all of those metaphors are used to reflect the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because there is no human analog. It includes all of them, right? We are Yadid Nefesh. He's our Avar Achaman. Where's Eved? They're all true. And if you stress only one, so you're not really getting the whole picture. So what Rav Fisher is suggesting is the long similar lines, that they're both true. We are both B'nei B'chor Yisrael, and in that role, in that function, we play a special role in all of humanity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about all of humanity. But we're also Am Levadad Yishkon, Levadim Goyim Lo Yischashav, and we're distinct and apart, and not just a small part of a bigger thing, but totally a different unit. They're both true. Yeah.
We have clear precedent that our nation undergoes tremendous struggle, even outside of a Sechar Onesh framework, in particular, you know, going through Mitzrayim, and Avram is informed of the future of his nation as such. So, you know, Hashem has his justice system, so we're not always working with Sechar Onesh. So it makes me wonder, you know, we have Gilgulim, so you know, and we're able to refine ourselves over time in this world and the next. But perhaps the action of the Goyim coming from nothing and rediscovering Hashem, so to speak, like Avram did, it's a tremendous godless in and of itself. So perhaps they don't really have Gilgulim, so to speak.
I can't comment on Gilgulim, but
regardless,
it's an important question you're bringing up, and I hope Ezra Hashem to talk about that some point this year. It's very important to talk about the nature of Hashgacha and the nature of Din, and is everything always working within a model of Schar Va'onesh and the like, and part of this parak is certainly an issue of whether Schar Va'onesh in the simple sense is all that's going on. So I agree with you that this parak has to be considered in that broader conversation. I hope Ezra Hashem will have a chance to work on that sugya also. Okay, so now a couple more ha'aros. So first of all, we've been talking so far about our responsibility to the rest of the world, and how that responsibility places upon us a certain burden. There's a certain universal mission, and how all of humanity, though, is at Tzelem Elokim, something that God cares greatly about. I'd like to briefly spend one moment discussing sort of the other aspect of this, which is the notion of non-Jewish contribution to humanity, and the idea that we have to appreciate the great contributions of non-Jews. One remarkable expression of this is in the Tiferes Yisrael, which you have at the top of page 8. So we'll read it quickly in translation. This translation is from Rabbi Yitzchak Blau, actually, just because we have to go quickly. But it's a very powerful statement. Even without the holy works of our sages who told us that Chasidei Umos Olam have Chelek in Olam Haba, we know this from our intellect, right? If Hashem is just, so obviously a person who does good things will be rewarded. The pious Edward Jenner invented the vaccine that saves tens of thousands of people from smallpox. Sir Francis Drake brought the potato to Europe, which has prevented famine on several occasions. Johann Gutenberg invented the printing press. Some of them never received the reward in this world, like the pious Johann Ruchlin, who risked his life to prevent the burning of the Talmud, which had been commanded by Emperor Maximilian in 1509, etc. Etc. So it's important to recognize it. An interesting thing to talk about, though not now, is there are certain sources that discuss whether the contributions of non-Jews should be seen altruistically or selfishly. Yes, they certainly contribute. The Gemara and Shabbos with Rishim Bar Yochai and Daf Lamed Gimel relates to that. There's a comment at the very end of the first parak of Tanya that relates to that point. That isn't the result. That isn't the perspective here presented by the Tiferes Yisrael. And that's something that's important to keep in mind. The tremendous contributions throughout all of history that non-Jews have made, and that we, of course, benefit tremendously from, right? Like his example of the printing press, So look at all the Sfarim that are printed due to the printing press. Now, by now a Jew would have figured it out, but still. So that's something that always has to be acknowledged. It's not just about our responsibility to them, but our appreciation to them for their contributions. Now, those examples of contributions are scientific contributions. But what about the spiritual capacity of non-Jews? So there's a fascinating halacha in the Rambam. This is a very famous halacha at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, because it's everybody who learns in Kollel likes to think of themselves as fulfilling this halacha. I'm not sure if most people who learn in Kollel do. Could be categorized really fit this mold of the Rambam, but we want to look at it really for a different purpose. Bottom of page 8. V'lo shevet Levi bilvad, el kol ish v'ish mikol bayolam, asher nadvar rucho oso, v'hivinu mada'o, libadel amod lefnei Hashem, l'sharso, v'lovdo, l'adas es Hashem, v'halach yashar kemo sha'aso ha'alokim, u'parak me'al tavaro, ol ha'cheshbonos ha'rabim, asher b'kshu v'nei Adam, harezen is kadesh kodesh kadashim, v'yashem chalko v'nachaloso li'olam u'liol me'olam. So it's not just Shevet HaLevi that has this special role, but anyone who dedicates themselves to the service of God has this special status. Now, the Rambam's formulation, I think, pretty clearly implies that this is not something that's limited to Jews. Below Shevet Levi Bilvad, Ela Kol Ish V'Ish Mikol Ba'e Olam. Any person, he doesn't say any Jew, can be Miskadesh Kodesh Kadashim, but any person, Mikol Ba'e Olam, could be Niskadesh Kodesh Kadashim. not just Jews, and perhaps a makor for this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah that says that a non-Jew who learns Torah is kikohen gadol, right? Miskadish kodesh kadashim. He's kikohen gadol. He's kikohen gadol. Now again, you have to know which parts of Torah are appropriate. Tosfos and the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, based off of the simple reading of the Gemara, sounds like it's not any Torah. It's the Shefa Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Marsha expands that not just to narrow Mitzvos B'nei Noach, but Mitzvos Aseh and the like, but basically the elements of Torah that are shayach to non-Jews. The truth is that there's a tshuva in the Rambam who says it's not, is much more expansive, as long as they're accepting the true and correct understanding of the Torah, it need not be limited to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. The Meiri, both in Sanhedrin and in Avodah Zarah and Daf Gimel, expands this possibility as well, that non-Jews might be able to learn more than the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, assuming they're doing it Lishma, and they're not doing it in a way that would somehow mislead others or cause the founding of a new religion or the like. But the point is that a non-Jew can be kikohen gadol, like the Rambam says, niskadish kodesh kadashim. There's another letter of the Rambam on this topic, several others actually. If you take a look, you have this here at the very bottom of page 8. Almash sha'alta al ha'umos haviyodeya derachmana li babai. That which you're wondering about non-Jews, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about what's in our heart. He cares about our intention. V'achar kavanas ha'lev heim heim advarim. And what matters is the kavana. V'alkein amru chachmei ha'emes rabbeinu aleihem ha'shalom chasidei umos ha'olam yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. Im esigu ma'asherowi lahasig mi'adiyas ha'bori. So if a non-Jew understands what could be understood about God, they understand God as well. Right? It's not just Jews that have the ability to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a non-Jew understands Hashem, Evaris Baruch, V'eskinu nafsham v'midos ha'tovos, there's midos tovos. It's interesting, right? In Mishnah Torah, in the Rambam discusses Chassidi Umos Olam, his focus is on the observance of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Here, he focuses on, and I think they're both true, a correct understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and midos tovos. V'ein b'davar safik shekol mi shehiskin nafsho b'kashrus ha'midos v'kashrus ha'chachma. So you have a non-Jew, it's obvious that if he has good midos, he is chachma. Be'emunas ha'borei yisborach b'vadeihu mibnei ha'olam haba. So again, doesn't mean that there isn't a difference between Jew and non-Jew, but the Rambam certainly acknowledges the possibility of non-Jews achieving incredible, I guess, spiritual achievements as well. And the truth is that I think when you look in Tanakh, almost every place you see Jewish particularity stressed, you'll also see universality stressed. We'll look at a couple of examples over here on page 9. These are just a couple of examples that came to mind quickly. But when Hashem initially chooses Avram Avinu, V'ascha l'gai gadol, v'avarchecha v'agad l'shmech v'yei bracha, v'avarcha m'varchecha u'mekalelcha ha'or, v'nivrachu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama. So through you, bracha will be brought to kol mishpachos ha'adama, the entire, all the families of the world. So here, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing Avram, like we talked about last week, choosing him for a special mission, a unique mission, to play a role that's distinct, but it's not just about him. V'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama. A little later, v'isbachu v'zaracha kol galyei ha'aretz ekev asher shamata b'koli. Here the pasuk's talking about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram Avinu. And again, right, ekev asher shamata b'koli, but it's v'isbachu v'zaracha kol galyei ha'aretz. We talked about v'atem tiul imam lachas kohanim v'gai kadosh, what that means according to the Sforno and Rabbi Avraham and Arambam. We mentioned this psukim before, below, from when Shlomo HaMelech is davening for the Beis HaMikdash. Right, again, we sometimes think of the Beis HaMikdash as our temple. No, it's L'chol HaMim. And there is Shlomo therefore specifically davens that the tefillos of non-Jews be answered there. In fact, in a way that's even more than Jews, perhaps due to their understanding. Again, these are some of the famous psukim, but from Yeshayahu, Ani Hashem kirasicha b'tzadek v'achazek b'yadecha v'etzarcha v'etemecha levris am l'or goyim. So the pasuk that talks about Arab having a bris am, that special bris, were also meant to have or goyim. The next psukim as well, though we don't really have time to go into it. And like we mentioned before, that you see that, you know, in the tefillah of Aleinu, there's two things. The first paragraph, which is a very universalistic message about Kol B'nei Vasar Yikru V'Shmecha, and then the second paragraph, which is all about our special role. Now, I wanted to talk about, but I see we're about out of time, the nevuah of the suffering servant. Okay, but we'll stop here. Yes.